Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's a little warm up here.
It's hot as a motherfucker up here, Brad. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, if we open the windows, then we'll hear it, right?
We'll hear it. There's no screen, and so who knows?
Birds might come in.
Yeah, birds. Yeah. There's a bird that lives, like, has a nest, like, right above this window.
I would freak out. I was at a place, ice cream bar, and there were pigeons, and I was losing my shit. I'm like, I don't need to be this close to
Like, inside?
Like, it was out. It was an outdoor summertime thing, and there were pigeons walking around, and one of them flew over me.
Yeah,
and
birds are dirty.
Yeah.
Rats. Especially pigeons.
Rats with wings. That's what my grandpa says.
And you know what goes great with an incredibly hot day? A black IPA.
Man. Squid Ink Black IPA from Scorched Earth. Algonquin, hello.
Yeah, we've been having a handful of Scorched Earth beers on our beer reviews, and they've been meh.
Yeah, this is better than the ones we've had.
Yeah.
This is Amarillo, Cascade, Chinook, Simcoe.
All the favorites.
Yeah, 7.3.
And yeah, it feels like it's an IPA that's black. And that's what you really want from the black IPA. You want that little bit of maltiness, but you still want IPA forward.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's some roastiness, I guess that's fine. But yeah, you don't want to be reminded of other styles. You want to just feel like it's a black IPA.
Yeah.
Chocolate covered orange, if you will. It was the best kind of black IPA.
Uh-huh. And I picked this beer up a little while ago. I had originally picked it up for us to do like a Squid Game reel. And then I was like, we never got to it. We fell off our reel game.
We were white hot too. But to be fair, I mean, you were coming up with a lot of those ideas. And I would like kind of co-sign and add on to the idea if I could. But like, I don't have ideas of my own that we can build off of. So.
And you can only so many times open a beer and dance.
I mean, yeah. Or can you?
Right.
Maybe that's just our thing. We just dance to beers.
That's true. That could be our thing. And
you know, it's funny. On a side note, after I tried our beer that we made with Emmett's, I kept ordering black IPAs no matter where I went, and this Algonquin was one of the spots. And I had this on draft.
Oh, you did have this one. Okay.
It's better in the can.
Okay.
Yeah. On draft, it was kind of forgettable, but I feel like I get more hops in the can than I did on draft.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging. This is my favorite Scorched Earth beer I've had.
Yeah.
7.3%. Fun little design. Nice black IPA. That's all I can say.
I guess this is like, it's a play on like a, I don't know, a boy band because they all.
No, it's playing Squid Games.
Oh, is that what this is?
Yeah, maybe I've seen Squid Games.
I mean, maybe I should just watch more TV. No.
Yeah, was that?
I digress.
What, around Christmas time?
Yeah.
Korean TV show on Netflix?
Yeah, I'm familiar. I just never watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta get up on it.
I just saw the first three episodes of Ted Lasso. I'm late to the party.
Whew.
Late to the party. I mean, it's hilarious, but I'm on like episode 4.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Well. So we're going to keep sipping on this. We also have a little fat squirrel because, you know, that's still in the fridge. I have too many, like, winter, fall beers still in the fridge, and they are taking up space from summer lagers.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing then. Yeah, try some fat squirrel.
So here we are. So what went down this week? What'd you get after?
Man, kind of a short week, but I did go to a real life beer festival, Brad.
You made it to one.
Yeah, I went to...
There's no documents, so I don't know. Nick,
I got a couple photos, but you know, it's like I get self-conscious about the photos. But yeah, I went to May Festiversary.
Okay.
So this is the joint block party between, who is it, Beguile and Dovetail.
This is their first of the year because they have another one. They do the Oktoberfest anniversary, or just it's Oktoberfest.
I didn't know that.
But it, yeah, the October version is pretty much the same thing. I think there's just more Lederhosen and pretzels.
Yeah. This was a good party, man. You know, it's a party for the people. It's an all skate, if you will. There's dogs, there's kids, there's old people, young people. Like, every walk of life is welcome. And then there's, like, five or six food trucks. And then it's a full-on block party. And it takes up both parking lots.
Okay.
Beguiles and Dovetails. So I really dug that. Tons of bike racks. That was very cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a stage right on the main street in front of Dovetail. So I really dug this party. Dovetail had this very cool, anniversary special where you get a pretzel, a t-shirt, and a beer for $20.
Okay.
That was cool.
I think you posted a picture of the on the reel.
Yeah, see? yeah, and then Dovetail had a secret bar behind the brewery where they were doing slushies.
Oh.
Of their, what are these called now? Oh, the Creek series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a peach, an Italian plum, you know, just a regular Creek, which I think is a cherry. And then one escapes me.
Did you try this 3% barley wine from Beguile?
Fuck, no.
Yeah.
I knew I should. I thought Alarmist was making the 3% barley wine.
They made it with Alarmist.
Oh, no. When I went to Beguile, I was double fisting by that point. So I got a cider.
Okay.
I got an international cider or whatever they were calling it.
I thought, wouldn't he have had Two Towns cider? Isn't that his brother's cider?
Yeah, but company? This is why we take the photos, right? I don't think it was Two Towns, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's usually the ciders they have, since that's the other brother of Kevin, who's out in Oregon.
Really? Yeah, so Beguile, they had an outdoor bar, Boat Shoes, Beguile Blonde, Freebird, Hop Hazardly, and No Tomorrow, which is a hazy.
Okay.
And then they had a different bar, an inside bar. I'm slacking. I didn't get a picture of the inside bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to get over there and try this 3% barley wine, either at Alarmist or Beguile. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Dovetail and Beguile, they kind of kept it classic with like their standard lineups. So on the Dovetail side, it was Maybach, Hef, Hell's, Vienna Lager Pilsner, and then like five different versions of this of the Creeks. And then slushies.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Cool. I was on, that day, Maeve and I were out on our electric bikes, and we were looking for a spot where we could sit down and keep an eye on our bikes, because we're not like, they're still new, so we're not 100% about locking them up.
Yeah, this is, I rode this bike, it's the sweetest, I had to look them up. I'm like, man, I might have to get one of these bikes, man.
Fun.
Juiced.
Yeah. Man. I got Juiced, she's got a Rad, and... While we were riding around, just side note, we've run into this electric wheel gang twice. Maybe it might be different people, but there's like some people in there, like maybe, I don't know, 15 to 30.
Okay.
And they all have electric wheels. Some of them have electric bikes, some have one wheels, some have scooters, boosted boards. And they saw us and they like, we got a little nod.
Oh, man.
And they're just cruising.
Gang.
But anyway, we were gonna go over to the Mayfest diversity, but we were worried, one, just a lot of people, weren't sure about how we were gonna lock up our bikes and keeping an eye on them.
Yeah.
So we decided to go over to Spiteful.
Right on.
Because they got an outdoor seating now, so we were just able to park our bikes right there, didn't really have to lock them up, and just had a beer there.
Yeah. Now can you, yeah, Spiteful's got the nice sidewalk seating. I always think about Spiteful because we shot the video for the intro to the show at Spiteful.
But yeah, since COVID, they now have that sidewalk seating.
Okay.
Previously, it was only, you know, open the garage doors and
kind of
go.
That's right. Yeah. I'm very appreciative of a Spiteful. Because, you know, it can get crazy at Half Acre.
Right.
You know?
Which we thought about going over to Half Acre, but yeah, Spiteful.
It's right there.
It was easy.
Yeah.
And there, it's kind of weird that they're doing... order at your table. So they have like wait staff and everything, which is a little surprising that you don't just go up to the bar and then walk back with your glasses. I'm a little surprised there.
Okay. They
didn't like ruin the experience. I was just kind of like, you come to us? They didn't seem like a place that would do that.
They maybe want to encourage, I guess, tipping more. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it is glassware on the patio, so maybe they don't want people walking with the glasses or moving around too far with them.
And it's a dog-friendly joint, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Inside and outside.
Yeah.
What did I have? I think I got there. Oh, I got the blue Cubby Blue lager.
Come on.
Cubby Blue? Yeah. Really? But not...
Not to be confused with the Goose... Cubby Wrigley Blue. Cubby Blue.
Yeah.
That Mike Jacobs is making at fucking Clybourne.
But this was no blueberry, just lager.
So weird. Uh-oh, we got a gusher.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. And there's no... We got no napkins up here, so we'll have to... All right, we'll have to live with that for a minute.
All right. God damn it, Algonquin.
All right, hold on. We'll cut it out. I'll go grab some. All right, we got the mess cleaned up.
All right.
We're back in action.
We're back.
I don't know, the beer is, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know where we left off, but I had a note about Mayfestiversary.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to, they got two brewmasters. Hagen is the one I talked to. He's the guy with less hair.
Yeah.
And then there's Bill, who's got all the hair. He's walking around Lederhosen, he's got the big beard, big hair. Yeah. I think he's from Northbrook, the big hair. Big beer, and then Hagen is from like the area, from like Lincoln Center, okay. Lincoln Square. So anyway, I hung out with Hagen at some event at the City of Chicago Club downtown. Just one of these old buildings downtown, and they have this club, and they were doing a beer presentation. I think it was like Glunn's.
Okay.
So anyway, we remembered each other from that. We started talking, and I told him how super jazzed I was about the Creek and how I think that's my favorite beer from them. Just because it gives them this extra layer, and not you can't call them just a lager brewery because they got this killer Creek series every year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we don't consider ourselves a lager brewery, is what he said.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He said, he's like, we focus on traditional continental styles, and people confuse that with us being a lager brewery. But, at least, I mean, I looked at the menu. He's got, well, there's a Hef that's on full time because, you know, we talked about flagship beers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think he said Hef, Helles, Lager, and Pils are our flagships.
Okay.
But then, you know, they make the Hef, they make the Kolsch. They got a whole series of these spontaneous beers. And none of those are lagers. So, see, there's Bert.
I know, the Bert. Yeah, coming in for us.
I thought that was interesting. And then B, they're coming up on 6 years. They've only made 37 beers the whole 6-year run. Really focused on just dialing in these styles.
That's crazy.
You know? Yeah, he's like, we're not chasing trends or none of that shit. We just want to make the styles we make. And so the number of different beers they made is super low.
Okay.
And then one more thing about this... these Creeks, I mean, yeah, the Creek beers, the Spawn beers, it's a 4-year-old beer that they put in slushy form. I thought that was interesting.
Did you try one of those?
Yeah. Okay. It was lights out. They need to have that shit all summer.
Okay.
And
then you also heard at Mayfest something from Kevin or...
No. Cheers to Jack Meldowney from the Hop Review.
Okay.
It's got super long hair now, man. It looks like Jesus, man. Like nice. All the way down, shoulder length.
He heard that the Bug will not be going back to Garfield Park.
According to him, the Guild is telling people that they got priced out of Garfield Park.
Okay.
So they weren't welcome back in the sense that the Guild had to split too much of each ticket with Garfield Park.
Okay.
And the Guild's like, well, this is our biggest fundraiser. So it doesn't make sense for us to do that. Like, you're taking... too much of our money for us to be a venture, for this to be worth it for us.
Yeah, although when I was talking to Heather at Beer Under Glass, I was like, I was surprised how cheap the tickets are. Where, you know, people talk about inflation and everything's costing more. Beer Fest costs the exact same. Like, they don't cost any more than they did 10 years ago.
Yeah, it could easily be a $100 ticket, right? But I don't think it is. I think it's like 70s or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially because if it's a non-profit, so you're technically donating.
So you should, if anybody should be charging $100, it should be them.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they could charge more and be at the conservatory, but and give, you know, it's going to two people, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's true now that you mention it.
Because I think it's like $45 or maybe $35. It was something like, that's it for the ticket?
I didn't realize that. Yeah, so this creek, the last note about the creek. I'd really like the creek, I'm sorry. So he's like, yeah, we use 60% malt and 40% raw wheat in this creek.
Okay.
And I'm like, raw wheat isn't something you hear every day. And I'm like, wheat, like, you know, like you see fields of wheat and you snatch the wheat out the ground and throw it in the beer. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, why would you do that? Okay. And he's like, because, like, just some super nerdy shit, like, because the Saccharomyces they use to ferment the beer, if you put raw wheat in there and you put the Saccharomyces in a barrel, after 2 years, the Saccharomyces starts to eat away at the raw wheat. It doesn't eat at it right away. It takes much longer. And when it does finally start to eat away at those types of sugars, it releases these kind of gooseberry flavors.
Mm.
So it was super interesting. You know? Yeah. I'm like, I didn't understand that at all. But so that was fun. It was a fun chat. So cheers to him.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Oh, not a bad little weekend there from the two of us. So, Nick, we're about halfway through the year. And yes. Last year we did our picks. We broke these up so we wouldn't forget come end of the year when we're trying to decide on our favorite beers of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
So we decided last year to break them up, do our five now and five in December.
Halftime report. Mid-year best of, whatever you call it. Yeah.
And I got to say, it's been harder this year. Not so much that there's so many great beers, but that everything is good. There's just not huge standouts, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it took us a bit to come up with like the huge standouts. We did have a couple that did go to the top, and we're not ranking these as like, this is the best one or the worst one. But one that I keep bringing up all the time.
Well, before you do that, could I give a handful of like honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions.
Not on the list, just things that were kind of noteworthy in the last 6 months.
Strawberry 312. No.
VSOR, you know, right. But no, Pink Scales from Whiskey Hill. It's a kettle sour. It's got a passion fruit mango and dragon fruit in it. Totally caught me off guard. Fantastic beer. Crushing Mass from Three Floyds. Barrel-aged coffee stout in 4-pack. Super available. Not crazy expensive. I really dug that. You know, I know we don't. Not everyone likes Two Brothers nowadays. But the 25th anniversary mix pack of Two Brothers, they had a Brown Fox. It was a Session Brown Ale.
Session Brown Ale. On your honorable mention.
4.8%. Okay. I'm telling you, man, this shit was really good. Shit was really good.
Okay.
And one more, man. A Party Boat Fruited Sour from Forbidden Root. So that was a white peach, prickly pear, pina, and vanilla.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So just some beers that just caught my attention over the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't break it into the list.
But no.
We thought about. One that I come back to all the time, and I still have a can of because I like don't want to drink it because I enjoyed it so much, was the Banshee from Old Irving.
Yeah, Brad brought this to my attention, like he does pretty much a lot of stuff. This at like 5.5%, right?
Just a classic pale ale.
Yeah.
And it has some of those hazy notes that maybe you've started to enjoy more, and it's great.
Yeah, man. Small beer, big flavor, dare I say, like a session hazy, right?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. So
that beer's great. I haven't seen it again at Old Irving. Hopefully, you know, they do bring it out again or make it again, because I think that's one of my top beers for this year.
It was delicious. And, you know, artwork doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
It's like kaleidoscope vibes. Very good.
And then another that I've... still keep forgetting to go pick up the bottle of, and you got the bottle, and I tried it beer in a glass, was Salamos Valdor.
Yeah, it's an ode to Orval. I think it came out on Orval Day. Mm-hmm. Still not clear on what Valdor is. Maybe it's a location or something. We need to get to the bottom of that. Oh, but when you take the Valdor side by side with said Orval, the thing that made it a standout was that it kind of held its own in every single way.
Yeah.
You know, and I was really impressed by that. So it was delicious. It was really delicious.
And again, you know, I'm going to mention it until I pick it up. I need to go pick up a bottle.
Yeah.
And then another one that I had a beer under glass was Valerie, which is Vera's cousin, sister?
Right.
Vera is a pistachio cream ale, and this is a Meyer lemon cream ale.
Yeah.
From around the bend. This was fantastic. It tastes like lemon meringue pie. It's like very desserty, but not too sweet. It's nice.
Yeah. I think when we had him on the show, Dan, I think he kind of mentioned like the top selling beers at Brewyards.
Yeah.
I think it kind of rotates between like Vera and what, Two Headed Boy of the Pills from
Burnt City.
Yeah. So that's saying a lot, because a pistachio cream ale is not the first thing you would think would be the top, you know, one of the beers that are anchoring the program. But
I think that it's unique and light and delightful.
That's the thing. If you can be unique and approachable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice combo.
And then one we had, you had before, and then we had recently at the Goose Island tasting we went to, we had the AB from Goose Island and Microphone. And
Double LP.
Double LP. And you say the B-side.
The Microphone one. Yeah, the Barley Wine. Yeah. So I think side A is the Goose Beer, which is a, what is it? It's a barrel-aged stout with Chicago maple syrup. That's Goose's beer. But then side B is barley wine. Barrel-aged barley wine, Heaven Hill barrels with Goose's yeast strain.
Right.
So basically the Bourbon County Stout yeast strain.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
And they are supposed to be mixed together to make like a better version of them both.
Yeah.
But people are going to judge them on their own. That's just how that's going to work. If you wanted me to think of them as one beer, make one beer.
Yeah, and then allow me to try the parts maybe on draft or in another setting.
Yeah, you needed to do the mix.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Put it out the 7-inch or something on the little 12-ounce can.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can deconstruct it all you want, but yeah, if you want them to be one beer, then you got to give me one beer. Because without, like you said, without that,
I'm judging them on
exactly
on their own. So.
Yeah. So.
And this last one you had and I haven't had.
Yeah.
So I can't. I don't know, like verify its topness, but it's
topness.
I didn't have anything else that I felt like should make this list.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think we kind of took a look at the IG and said, what jumps out 6 months later?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we said the Red Corn Lager from Cruz Blanca.
Shit, okay.
You know, I had that on a night with one of the Luchador beers and one of the a table grisette from them.
That's okay.
And the Red Corn Lager really stood out as far as like, you know how, you know, there's a sweetness and a uniqueness that doesn't really overshadow the fact that it's a lager. Like it all just kind of plays very well together, you know? And I thought that was special, you know?
Okay.
Because it's just a lager, but then you're drinking it in this setting and you're like, man, but it's not, you know, it's not the Dubtail Lager. It's not, you know, Metro or any of the Gold Finger. It's not the classic European lager. Okay. It's just kind of this, it's its own thing. Light and sweet and delicious and weird, but good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Okay.
So now I want to go back to it.
So just to recap them again, we had Banshee, Valdor, Valerie, Side B from Microphone, and Red Corn Lager. Hilarious that there's two V name beers in there.
Oh shit, yeah, there is.
That's weird.
Yeah, you told me about the Valdor, and I was like, I happen to be by Salamoth, and I'm like, yeah, I need to pop in here and try this beer. And I'm like, oh shit, he wasn't wrong about this. You know.
Doubting my
I'm like, oh shit, he was right. With that gum. Oh man.
Damn. Okay. So that's our pick so far for 2022.
It's good that we do this at the halfway point, by the way. This would be hard as fuck to do at the end of the year.
Right. So we could reference this for when we go back in December or January as we recap the year. We will mention these again. Hopefully we see all these throughout the year. I believe the Meyer Lemon will probably see Banshee, who knows, Valdor. I think they're going to, it depends on how long it lasts for.
Yeah, I mean, it's only $11.
Right. Side B will probably be the hardest one to come by as you're looking for it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, interesting. Okay, nice. So if you have any other that stood out for you or you like this year, like, let us know.
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, it's we're not going to say it's easy to pick, you know, other beers, but it's just like, well, hey, if you took a, I think we tried to take a deeper dive on purpose, right? With these, with what we really liked versus like who the biggest breweries are or who the most, what the most popular beers are, right?
And of course, there's gonna be ones we miss too. Like we can't try every beer. Like if I would just drink more Brian Boru and Bodum. Like I'll just do that if like.
Yeah, so it's not. I like that it's not an indication of the beers we drink the most.
I like that. But there's beers that we'd want to have again.
Yeah, that's true.
That's something I look for in like the top beers for when you think about things you drank that year or things you appreciate. It's beers you want to go back to, that's not true. Beers you filled the fridge with because now you're addicted to them. Bodum lived in that, but
yeah. Soundtrack of the summer, whenever it came out.
There's been few beers like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, would you drink this beer again? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anything else we should need to mention or talk about before we get out of here?
I don't know, man. I think I'm going to watch Squid Games now that I've got this can all wrong.
Watch Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso's better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's good so far, man. Yeah. I really dig it.
I feel like you could watch like a... There's probably on YouTube like a 10-minute recap of Squid Games.
Okay.
You're good. You just need to know the premise.
Good to know.
The games and the cookie meme. That's the only reason I watched Squid Games was because I needed to know what the cookie meme was. Mm-hmm. And if the cookie meme didn't happen, I wouldn't have watched this. You see people like trying to make the shape. I don't know if you saw that meme.
I got nothing, man. I haven't seen it. I got nothing.
All right. Then we're going to get out of here. Nick, where do people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram. All the episodes are on chicagobeerpass.com. And we should be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.